Welcome to the OFX podcast. I'm Dave Claxton, and along with me is the savage sawtooth sister, Bethany McChesney.
Hello.
Hello. And this episode is brought to you by Duonamic, again, who are the creator of the Elevia. Yes, Elevia, the incredible doorway pull-up system that's great to use and terrible to pronounce. At least for me, anyway. How are you doing, Beth?
I'm good. Just getting ready to go on a little bit of a training trip weekend in Banff. So get out of here, run some mountains.
I'm very jealous. Not for like the running the mountains part. I don't want to do that. That sounds terribly difficult. But the trip, though, and like... I mean, are you allowed to mention who you may run with?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I'm probably going to train a bit with Ariel. Maybe Emma. We'll see if she can meet up.
Are you going to make them go to like Core Fit in Calgary, the ninja gym?
We talked about that. So we're staying in Banff. So Calgary is about an hour away. So if there's a rainy day or something, I might go in. But we're planning to do one day rock climbing in Calgary, though.
This is a good trip.
I know.
I was not invited on this trip. I'm a little disappointed, a little sad. But it sounds like a lot of fun. I think that would be a blast. I mean, I noticed too, we got Mick is out doing mountain training with Austin. With Austin. Right now.
Yeah. It'd be so fun to do just like a Canadian group training camp somewhere in the mountains and just like a week. Just like in the preseason, get everybody together who we can.
I would be very fun. I would video that.
Especially for all of us who don't have access to mountains, right? Like it's hard when you're first time stepping on a mountain. Like I live in a small town, flat as flat can be. So my first time stepping on a mountain is usually my first Spartan race. So just to kind of get the legs going a little bit.
Well, that'll have you because. Is your first race going to be Bermico?
My first Spartan will be, yeah.
Yeah, your first Spartan. Yeah. And I mean, that's not a mountain, but it's
hilly. Yeah.
And it's up and down ski hills, which is the only ones we do here for some reason, except for Red Deer.
Yep.
So that'll be good. That'll at least get you prepped for it anyway.
Yeah, a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not trying to jinx this, because every time I've tried to do anything lately, it's gone to shit. But I'm going to go do a DECA Strong down in New York at Horsehead, New York. Terrible name for a place, but whatever. But yeah, I'm going to go down and try a DECA Strong because I just flipped through and I'm like, oh, wow, like there's one right there. It's like a 4.5 hour drive. We can get across the border now.
No testing.
So yeah, now it's back to like quick jaunts, bang, bang. So there'll be a bit of a test run, but I think that will be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it and hopefully put in a decent enough old guy time.
Yeah. Old guy time.
Yeah. Well, I'd like to be able to come close to that top 12 from the age group to get into that thing. World championship old guy thing. Yeah. So why don't we start? I guess we're going to start, but why don't we talk about some HYROX results? Did you get to see the coverage of the HYROX?
I did. I watched the women's very closely, and then I kind of skimmed through the men's, and I saw the end result.
Did you not think Lauren and Rich did a great job?
They did. Considering what they were working off of, they did a really good job.
They did. They were great. Obviously, you're not going to find two more knowledgeable people about it.
Right. So. Yeah, I know. And they had a lot of things that, like, kind of when, because you couldn't see. So they were just speaking off of the live feed from the HYROX Instagram. So anytime they were running, you didn't really have any coverage. So they had a lot of really good tips and stuff that they could fill in. During the running segment. So it was really valuable, actually. I enjoyed it.
So did I. I was like, when he first started, and he's like, "We don't have a cameraman. We're gonna do this." I'm like, "Oh, Rich, I feel for you so bad." And this was, I was watching it later because I couldn't watch it live.
Yeah, me too.
And I was just like, "Oh," and they did great. They were awesome. But anyway, so what were your thoughts about the race? So you said you paid really close attention to the women's race.
It was a really tight race. Like, it was really exciting. So there was a race with probably about five or six of them, and they were all kind of, there was a bit of exchanging. After Viola was basically in the lead, but all the other girls were there, except for a little bit of a switch up on the sleds when Sarah Colti took over for a little bit. But then Viola kind of caught back up again with the running. But then it was more what happened at the end of the race that got really exciting. And that's kind of where I wanted to see exactly what happened. So we had Miriam took over. She went from about fifth to second within the lunges. And then at the very end, Viola starts her wall balls, gets 32 wall balls in, and then Miriam comes in and just hammers out wall balls faster than I've ever seen. Only dropped the ball for a split second, picked it back up, hammered out the wall balls while Viola was struggling, and she passed her. And actually ended up beating her by like a significant amount considering how far ahead Viola was coming into wall balls. So it was really exciting to watch. And you kind of saw everybody around the wall balls kind of just starting to freak out and like realize what was happening and this overtaking. So it was exciting.
Yeah, watching Miriam do the wall balls was like rapid fire. It looked slightly in fast motion, like it was fast forwarded, but
Did.
she was
She was
just
almost
so
doing
clean.
one and a half to the other girl's one wall ball.
Yeah, and I mean, and just clean, super clean. And when you say she dropped it at one point, I'm not sure if she meant to take a break or if she just actually missed catching that one. Like,
It looked like it could have been just a miscatch because
yeah.
it literally bounced and then she picked it back up.
Yeah, she is real. I expect if I mean I don't know for sure, but if she is in Vegas, I expect her to be a legitimate threat.
Yeah. So, and interesting, she wasn't even really planning on going to that race. She did her first race just a month before and then was kind of like, maybe I should do this race. I don't really know. And then she did it and was not, she didn't even know she won when she crossed the finish line. So she's a CrossFit girl. She's only 18 years old.
So it's funny because she wasn't planning to go. I didn't know that, but Viola wasn't planning to go either
Oh,
because
really?
she's not been feeling great. She's had a bit of a rough go lately, you know, and everything. So she wasn't going to go either, but then she went. She told me she had like 30 no reps for the wall balls.
Really? So I had heard that she had had a little bit of a meltdown during wall balls, so that makes sense.
Yeah. She was very frustrated and has. Yeah. So yeah, she was very frustrated. She wasn't feeling well, and then still pushed through. And she's to the point where she's put out a post where she says she's maybe going to take a little bit of a break from High Rocks, but I believe she's still going to come to Vegas. So
Okay. So it was her squat depth that.
yes. And if you know, it's so funny. So the last two High Rocks I watched was the one in New York where, you know, rules didn't exist and you could do whatever you wanted. And then when Viola came in to do her wall balls, they were watching her like a hawk. Like there was like two judges there, and the ones like bending down, making sure, like it was wow, they were really, really tight with that.
Oh, I wonder if they'd been. If they had saw what happened in New York and then were like, we can't, we have to get on this.
Is it possible that our complaining screwed over Viola's race?
We have that much power. No,
I
I
still, I'm
don't
really
think
sorry. I really
so.
like Viola. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. But I mean, we've always said like you have to keep the integrity of the race, right? And if the rules are the rules, then enforce them.
Yeah, and you know what? If her squats were not good, or weren't deep enough, or she wasn't getting down, her wobbles not deep enough, then you got to call the no rep, and I'm glad they did.
Well, I saw at one point a judge actually went over and was had his hand at her hip.
Yeah.
Like they were really being strict with this.
Yeah, and I mean that's great. That's good as long as it's consistent.
Yeah, exactly.
So if they want to maintain that consistency, oh, that's fantastic. That's great. I worry that they're not, and I still am have become a fan of Tara Jackson's make everybody use a bucket. I know. Even though I heard Rich and Lauren say, we're pros, we should be able to do it. Well, I know they all can do it, but they don't always do it, and it makes judging more difficult. But speaking of Tara, killer over there. She did great.
Yeah, so how much time did she take off of her personal best?
Almost 3 minutes.
Wow, good for her. Yeah, and that was a really good time. 106?
Yeah, solidified her spot in the top 15.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's good, because we had, I think right now, Chris Rogalski lost her spot in the top 15 now.
Yeah, so we kind of thought that might happen.
But. Yeah, there's currently four American women in the top 15, and that's including Lauren Weeks, who soon won't run.
Yeah, well, she's not going to probably... I'm not saying anything, no, actually, now. Never mind.
Lauren, take it as a personal challenge.
Yeah, but it is, it's, she'll be 7 months pregnant, so.
Is it, it's safe to say she will not be at 100% athletic capacity.
That's fair, that's fair.
All right. You know, so, but did you catch the men's as well? Because there was some good stuff in the men's too.
I didn't pay as close attention to the men's, no.
So Tim Vinick, a young guy, and he's been doing really well lately. He had a blow up, pretty much going to the burpees. I mean, it was, again, not an emotional blow up. Something physically was not wrong with him. He was not well or whatever the case may be. And he had to drop out. He was one of the favorites to win. So that was a big one. And definitely, I mean, Tobias.
Yeah.
Another world record, mm-hmm. which was amazing. But I think probably one of the craziest thing was Michael Sandbach. So Michael Sandbach was in second going into wall balls.
Oh.
And did like 20 wall balls and quit.
Okay. I did hear a pro man quit in wall balls.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, it was Michael. And I messaged him. I'm like, what happened? He's like, I don't know.
What?
Yeah. Just like, he goes, it just fell apart. Like everything was just messy. He goes, I didn't know. So yeah, it was just like a mental breakdown. And I don't mean like he, you know, broke down and started crying or anything like that. Like he just, something happened. And I think he didn't think he was doing as well as he was. And like, he was on pace to have an amazing finish.
Wow. And
yeah. I think he just was, he felt, I think maybe so much pressure from Alex Ronkovic from behind him. And he just stopped.
Oh, that's so bizarre. You're so close.
But I guess you know what it's like, right? Like when we're racing, so much stuff goes through your mind and is so much mental as well as physical that I guess it just overwhelmed him at that moment. Anyway, he says he's going to be at the next one and he's going to redeem himself. And I believe it. Like he's really good.
That's good. Yeah. Huh.
So I hope it was, but that was, it was another, it was a good race. A lot of back and forth, a lot of good guys. I suspect that I look at that and I when I think about two of the people win, Tobias and Miriam, I think when Tobias comes over here for Vegas, it's going to hit him harder than it will Miriam, because I think just with their skill sets.
Because why will it hit him hard?
Tobias is more of a runner. Like he's a good runner. He's great at the stations and stuff like that. Yeah. Right? The heavy, in everybody acknowledges their sleds are harder in North America. Those are going to hit him harder than they say Miriam, because Miriam is a stronger base. Yeah.
And she did not struggle on the sleds at all. She was one of the only girls I saw who was just hand over hand on the sled pole, which you rarely see girls do. They have to use their legs a lot more. So yeah, those sleds aren't going to be much of an issue for her. She said she didn't really like them, but it wasn't a factor as far as it like holding her back at all. So yeah, you're right.
Yeah, and yeah, her and Sarah Colty, I mean, she's just a beast on those sleds.
Yeah, yeah. She looks like she's running with it when she's pushing it.
She's so powerful. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so I think that'll be a big difference. I think the European athletes are going to come over and they will be in for shock, but they will be very competitive and it'll be a good race. But the fact that, yeah, four American women and four American men currently in the top 15, And then Cole Schwartz, one of the American men, his is actually a time he set in Madrid.
In Europe, yeah.
And that'll be same with, you know, Tara, her time set in Europe as well. So it does really still play to that. There's something going on there.
Yeah. Now, all of those names aren't necessarily going to come. Yeah. So then it will get bumped down to other athletes.
Now, what they say is they're going to do only two roll downs. That's it.
Okay.
And I'm not sure that's a great idea. I would just keep going because I'm with you. I think that I've said this publicly. I worry the attendance at this is not going to be what it should be with the lack, especially with the lack of an open wave at all.
Uh-huh. That's, yeah. Fill that heat at least.
Yeah. So they better do one hell of a stream or make one hell of a show out of it to make it a profitable venture.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, and that's what we want. We want them to make money. We want them to keep putting on races and make lots of money.
Yeah.
We'll see. So other big news, Spartan Games episode one. Thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I was expecting a little bit more of some more action. Yeah, it was just kind of the preamble of outlining what's going to happen and then some snippets of the athletes talking and then a lot of Watson talking. So it was, I mean, you have to get that stuff kind of out of the way, but I was hoping to even see like one event, like the first thing.
If you're a fan of David Watson, this is the show for you.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, like, and somebody else brought this up and I thought it was a great point. If they had just put that out as a preview, you know, not say episode one, this is preview.
Uh-huh.
It probably would have been all right.
That would have been, and you know, it wasn't that long. So it was like, yeah. So they could have done, you could have had it double that and start and showed some of the first events.
Yeah. 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 And again, and I'm not trying to knock Watson here because I don't know, but maybe more of the athlete interviews and less of the Watson interview.
Yeah. Well, especially too, because I mean, watching it from Spartan athletes, like I don't know who a lot of these people are. No. So maybe a little bit more explaining some of the other athletes who don't come from the OCR background.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I mean, like the guy from the tactical games, I mean, I'm sure that guy's a beast, but I don't remember his name and I don't know anything about him.
Right. He's still that guy right now.
And he could have been, they could have took time and introduced him and then I would have known more about him. Mm-hmm. I'm still looking forward to watching the second one.
Yeah,
hopefully it'll have a lot more action. I'm sure Matt has posted that it'll be like 40 odd minutes long, and okay, that there'll be more action. So, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I'm excited.
Yeah. So, other than that, I think that about covers it for that.
Yeah, yeah.
So, Kyle has moved on from Tough Mudder.
Uh-huh.
Have you had any interaction with any of the Tough Mudder fan base or?
I haven't actually. I've never done one. So other than the people that I've met through you, I don't really have interaction with Tough Mudder.
There seems to be panic.
Really?
they're terrified.
So is it because of they're afraid that because Tough Mudder's under Spartan ownership, it's going to shift?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot of them are afraid of that. And I think that's understandable.
Yeah.
You know, but.
Well, because the Tough Mudder crew is very loyal to Tough Mudder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because of the race it is. So, yeah, to kind of keep it with the same like focus and like ethos, as he always says, would probably be really crucial for them.
Yeah. And I think they're going to. I'm, you know, maybe I'm a eternal blind optimist on this one, but I think the and Giles that they have coming in, he used to run Tough Mudder Europe or UK, and he's very much a Tough Mudder guy. So I think okay, he did well, and him and Kyle were on the same wavelength with a lot of stuff. So,
well, and Kyle is still advising Tough Mudder. So I mean, if he still has his say, then it'll probably still stay the same.
Yeah, I think so. So one more thing to go through, and this will get to our guest later on. Savage, Did you see the Savage races at all?
Just highlights again. Not, I don't see much of the other coverage, but yeah, I did see some highlights.
Great races. Like, mm-hmm. really, really fantastic finishes. Christopher Glosky going into the end, looking home and cooled, and then falling off Sawtooth twice right near the end, and allowing Miranda Kiplinski, Kiplinski to pass her there. And full march for Miranda. She was putting the pressure on, mm-hmm. but just didn't see that coming. Like, after seeing Chris get through the rig, you would think she was good, but no, I guess that happened.
Was her hands wet?
Oh, yeah. Everybody was wet through this hole. It was a very wet, cold and wet day. And
oh, okay.
So it just got to her. But, you know, I mean, I wouldn't have thought, considering she has a great obstacle ability and everything, but it is what it is. And then on the men's side as well, back and forth, Ryan Kempson looking like he was going to not run away with it, but like it was his day.
Yeah.
And then just getting out obstacled by Aaron Newell. And
yeah, because he fell off an obstacle too, right?
Yeah, he fell at the rig. Mm-hmm. And then just from there, that allowed Aaron to just eat into the lead and eventually take over on the rest of the obstacles and finish up and take the win, which is great for Team OFX with Aaron Newell.
Yeah.
Killing it. And
is this his first axe?
This is his first axe.
Nice.
Absolutely. And then, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, by the way, our guest is Aaron Newell. I'm sure we'll talk about it with him after, but he gave the axe away to a young OCR kid named, well, not named, but they call him Shades, and he's visually impaired and does a ton of OCRs.
And that's cool.
Aaron gave him the axe for that. That was great. So
that's cool. Yeah.
But yeah, so a good race, a really exciting series. I think Savage has done really well with this, and I think it's definitely going to pay off for them. I definitely see you down there next year, Bethany, doing the Savage series.
Yeah. I really enjoyed the Savage race that I did. So it's still an option for me.
All right. Well, Bethany sadly has to go, but I'm going to move on to our guest, Aaron Newell. And thanks, Bethany. And we'll talk to you next week.
Yeah. Sounds good.
All right. Ready.
Yeah, well, actually, so
except Bethany, for legal six.
Yeah. So Bethany was here, but she doesn't like you.
Yeah, I know.
She has her kids tonight, so she could only do a couple minutes. So we did a quick thing beforehand, and she says hi, and she's annoyed that she could not hang around. You might not know this because you don't have children, but they're horrible.
Yeah, no, all my friends tell me that.
It's true. It's true. They're terrible. See, now you're drinking another. You got
I think Sarah just said, "What friends?" I'm drinking an Athletic Irish Red, which is not my normal cup of tea. I'm an IPA fake beer guy, but
I'm going to be going across the border, not this weekend, but next. So can I get like Athletic Brewing in a grocery store? Is that a thing? Can I find it somewhere? Because I want to try the light one.
You can find it in Hannaford, but I'm not sure that you can get the light or like anything other than like the blue or yellow one.
So I can get those up here.
You can probably order them, or I could just order them.
All right. We got to order because we're just going to be for a weekend in the glorious town of Horsehead, New York.
Wait, where's Horsehead?
It's like probably two and a half hours south of Buffalo.
Wait, 2.5 hours south of Buffalo is like Pennsylvania.
Yeah, it's gotta be down there somewhere. It says it's 4.5 hours for me. So it's southeast.
If anyone listening is from Western New York, I'm sorry.
Yeah. But honestly, they get beat on by us too, so they get it from everywhere.
It's better than Ohio, so they've got that.
The worst part about Ohio for me was anytime I would drive south to like Georgia or Atlanta or whatever, and I'd go through Cincinnati, and it doesn't matter when you get there, there's traffic. It's the worst.
I just imagine that's all of Ohio though.
No, the rest of Ohio is at least the highway. That's all I've seen is the highway of Ohio.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, I'm actually excited to go to Savage Race there because it's finally not I-90 or I-80. So, okay. Like the highway, which I just drive through. Whenever I drive through Ohio, it's like my, or like hour 6 to 12 of my trip across the country.
We were going to...
Either like there or back. So like on the way back, it's even more hated. I'm like, I'm so close, but this state's so goddamn big.
We were going to do Ohio. We're going to head to Ohio, but I can't. It conflicts with something else. And so we're going to hit Pennsylvania instead. We're going to Savage Pennsylvania.
Oh, I like Savage Pennsylvania. I did it last year.
Yeah, I haven't been. The only Savages I've ever done is Georgia. And I've done it twice, but it was always just funsy runs, right? I never actually competed or pushed for it or anything like that.
Was it the course I just did?
Yeah. Thor's Grundle. Oh,
that course is sick, by the way.
Yeah, but did you do Thor's Grundle?
Yeah.
Is that not the grossest obstacle ever?
I'm not totally sure which one it was. There's so many water obstacles.
It's like one of the ones, it's got like an old wooden board and you got to go face first under the water right under
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that one was gross. I also, when I came to it, I had already been lost for like a full minute and like Kempson had got like a minute lead on me and I was like, he could have just run right around this and there's no way to know whether or not he did.
No. Well, you know what? He didn't look
sure. I'm sure he did for anyone thinking I'm accusing him.
You know what? He did look pretty ill, so he probably went through it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maybe he just contracted some disease really quickly, and that's what happened to him at the end.
We can, well, my wife keeps calling that mostly mud, perhaps mud, because it is a horse farm, right? So you never know what's gone into there.
Yeah, I feel like that water's been there since they started doing Savage races there.
Well, like I said, I've done it twice in 2017 and 2018, and I don't think they changed the water out. It's just there. That's just what it is.
They did have Davy Jones Locker, like, dug out. Like, they've used it in the past, and then they did not use it. So I was kind of surprised about that.
Yeah, like, they had it when I was there. I wonder if it's, like, going something that's going away or not.
Maybe. Or just, like, an insurance thing. Or they just didn't feel like filling it with water, which they already had so many water obstacles. I don't blame them.
Should Shriveled Richard be in a competitive race?
Yeah, that thing's sick. Are you kidding?
Yeah, you don't even agree on this stuff.
I think it's great. That's the only one that like actually does anything. The other water obstacles are like, they're like room temperature.
Yeah.
That one's cold though.
That's the one my wife smashed her melon on. She went to dive under the board and didn't go low enough and just crack.
Yeah, I thought about diving into it and then I was like, I'd rather not like end up with somebody's foot in my face or like the far wall.
So by the way, Aaron won Savage. Yay!
I won a race. Yay! Well,
you did a thing.
I did a thing and it was winning. I'm pretty stoked. Yeah, oddly enough, I think people think that I've won a lot of races, but I've won like a decent amount of like B race Spartan races or like day two races, and I've never won like one against people who are fresh. So I'm happy.
You won the acclaimed second day two Red Deer Sprint, and that is a massive honor.
It was, especially when I convinced Sean to not do it. I was like, Sean, you can run this beast. How would that sound? And he was like, are you just not going to run the beast? And I was like, I'll run it, but like, I'm going to run the sprint beforehand. And he was like, cool. Sounds good.
Not hard.
Yeah. So.
So that's good. Yeah, man. So that was your first one. That was your first Savage. That's awesome. And
yeah.
I think it might have been one of the best finish line scenes I've ever seen, because between you and Nick, you guys were just so excited. It was good to see.
I think it was underwhelming for me because I was just like, cool. I was ahead of them by like a minute at that point, and I had gone from like behind by a minute to like catching up to Kempson, and then food. Oh, that's a lot of food.
Hi, Sarah.
Dave says hi.
Hey, Dave.
She says hi. That's all she gets.
Nah, well, you know.
You got to pay for more.
OnlyFans.com.
OnlyFans, yeah, I was going to say.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of underwhelming for me because I, like, came from behind and then got, or sorry, actually I got lost. Mm-hmm. And then like, I was like, well, that's the race. I even looked over at Riker and was like, there goes the series. And cause like Kempson got almost a minute on me. I went back and looked and it was like 45 seconds of like fully stopped. And then Kempson got like a little bit lost out of like a couple obstacles, he said. And so I think that like helped us catch up, but also like he just totally had the pressure off. So I think he slowed down a little bit. And then we like came out of nowhere and he was just like, oh shit.
Well, yeah. And then he had to fail on the rig there.
Yeah. So like I was probably 15 seconds behind him or 20 when he failed the rig. I mean, probably at the furthest back, I was like over a minute behind him. And so I definitely caught up a little bit on the running and like a little bit in him getting lost and like some harder obstacles. And then I saw him fail the rig. And then I saw him get back on and almost fail it again. I was jumping on when he was like halfway through. And then I think we hit the bell at the same time, or maybe I hit it a little bit before him.
And he looked like he completely stalled out in the middle.
Yeah. So he was like sliding down the poles and he didn't start very high to begin with. And I was like, ooh. And like his feet like brushed the grass, but like totally fair game, like still didn't like put his feet down or anything. But I was like, holy shit, he's close to it. Like I was like, if he just touches the ground like and puts his weight on it, like it's game over for him. But that didn't happen. And then I kind of like, we like ran down a hill. Kempson's better running downhill than me, got a little gap, and then we hit a steep uphill and I just like ran past him. And then we did some like crawly stuff and I like let him in front of me because I'm worse at that. And then we did like the really long monkey bar thing.
Sawtooth.
Yeah. And then I like 20 steps later, I turned around and there was nobody there. And I was like, huh. And then I ran for another like minute, turned around and there was nobody there. And I was like, okay. And then I just jogged it in. So it was pretty, that's why it was anticlimactic.
He looked completely un-Kempson-like on Sawtooth. I don't know what was happening with him, but he, like, you guys got on it at almost the same time.
Sarah keeps chiming in, even though she can only hear one half of the conversation.
That's all right.
Sorry.
It's not Colossus. It's Sawtooth.
Yeah, Colossus is the big ramp into the slippery pit.
She's trying to decipher half a conversation. I think he can tell you better than I can, but I've seen him do this before where he just like gets kind of like low on sugar, I think. And then just like it compounds with him being cold and then he slows down and that just makes him colder and his glucose drops even more. So,
well, it definitely looked like he wasn't right. Like something wasn't right with him because he was just, it looked like he stalled in the middle and just.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't seen the video or anything, but I literally turned around and I was like, huh, he must have failed it. And then when I got to the finish, I was like, guess he didn't fail it.
No,
but
he just hung on there forever.
Like he lost like a minute in the last like half mile. So I was really confused. I mean, I literally just like walked up the cargo net and like walked up the other stuff and was like, I don't know. All of us got stuck in the little like swimming pool thing.
Was that the hardest obstacle of the day? Getting out of Colossus.
Yeah, I was just like laying there like a kid in a swimming pool, just like trying to like swim out of there. Like I stood up a couple times, slid down, and was like, oh, I guess maybe this is how this race ends. It's like all of us piling up in here until one of us can get out. Which is what happened to Woodsy. Woodsy was going to get second.
Yeah, they were all was it three or four of them in there together? I guess the three of them were in there fighting for.
Yeah, the three of them were in there.
Yeah, and they looked scrambling, like, and nobody could get out.
Yeah, poor Woodsy. Yeah, I mean, I ended up, like, crimping the, like, tarp to get out and, like, pinching it.
Yeah.
And that's eventually how Woodsy got out. Riker told me he went to the edge and grabbed a piece of wood and got out.
I didn't see anybody reach over the edge, but, I mean, you know, typical footage copy crap like that.
Apparently they didn't tape it though, so I mean kudos to him for noticing that there is no tape. So that sounds like fair game to me.
I agree.
But when he told me that, I was like, huh.
You know what surprised me, and I was waiting for this on the rig, because those poles look slippery as hell.
Yeah. Right?
Like the rig didn't look difficult, but I'm sure with all the water and everything being so slick.
Yeah, so it looked really slippery and all the water obstacles. When I got to it, my hands were bone dry.
Yeah.
And I saw Kempston slide down, and in my head I was like, those obstacles are like too dry. Like my hands are dry, those obstacles are dry. So I like spit on my hands and I was like, the rope is going to get most of the like moisture off, but they'll still be like tacky for the poles. And I was right. They were like bone dry, but Kempston, apparently he was running with his windsurfing gloves or whatever you call it. His like kite gloves, which are neoprene. They're just neoprene gloves. Mm-hmm. And so like they held water on his hands the whole time. So when he took them off, his hands were soaking wet. And then he jumped onto these poles that are like painted poles. Yeah. And so he slid right down. And then he dried his hands off, said he dried them really quick. I saw him like trying to dry them on the poles and I was like, huh, weird.
I was surprised I didn't see anybody take advantage of the savage rules and grab above the poles.
Oh, you can do that?
No, you're not supposed to, but Savage always lets you away with it.
Huh. Yeah, I don't know. I just do stuff the right way.
I know that, but I've seen it lots of times. And I think back to when I was there, I saw people, because at that time they had the Holy Sheets obstacle.
Oh, yeah, that thing would be look super cool.
That was cool. It was cool. It was great. So it was like a bed sheet going across, and you kind of shimmied across it horizontally.
Yeah.
And then there was like five baseballs with the chains above the baseball, but everybody grabbed above the ball. And I'm like, that's not how it's done.
I want to design an obstacle that like totally maims you if you do it wrong.
Well, you
like if you try to cheat, like you can cheat, but you're going to get like crucified.
So it's simplistic, right? So when you're hanging the apparatus, hang it from barbed wire as opposed to hanging it from chains or something.
That's a great idea.
You're just punished for it, right?
Like if you really want it, you can still grab it, but like everyone's going to see you after the race and be like, you're a dirty cheater.
All of a sudden it'll be, what's the best chainmail glove to wear while you do this obstacle?
Yeah, yeah. Is it worth the weight?
I don't know. Anyway, obviously it was a great race. A lot of fun. Good to watch.
Yeah, so I hope afterwards, so. I didn't watch the footage. Was it okay?
No, it was terrible.
Was it?
Well, okay. And I mean, I'm not trying to like, you know, I mean, it is what
it is. I mean, I'm guessing it's like one frame a second. Like,
yeah, one frame a second. That's typical. We're used to that. That is what it is. But there was also, I think the first 20 minutes, Bracken was on mute and nobody knew.
That's a Matthew Davis.
Well, Matt was on course, right? So he was doing his thing there. So it just, there was a lot of technical issues, I would say. And then it was what it was. So for the first 20 minutes, it was pretty rough.
That's too bad.
And then, but yeah, the good part is we got the end and you got some good stuff.
Well, yeah, whatever.
So, and then
yeah, I mean, honestly, so far the Savage races have been like really exciting as far as like racing goes. Like
great race.
Just like total chaos, like awesome racing. Like these are so far like the most exciting races in my opinion that I've been a part of in terms of like lead changes and like this person goes out hard and blows up. That's me last time.
You haven't done that this year. Come on, you're really out of form here.
Oh my God! Wait, so you guys must have not seen Sean Roberts take off like a shot. He like sprinted the first 50 meters,
yeah.
Ate shit in a drainage ditch, and was up in like half a second, like less than half a second. He like hit the ground and then was like up running in the same instant. But then he just like shot out the back like a couple hundred meters later.
And, yeah,
like, he must have dropped out.
He did apparently, but you couldn't tell what happened to him because again, the footage was so choppy at that point and there was no commentary. So you didn't know who was first, who was behind, who was where. All of a sudden you just knew Sean Roberts was not involved and gone. So
yeah.
What I heard was that, yeah, he hurt himself, tweaked his knee or something when he fell there or whatever the case may be. I think, and I was discussing this with someone, I think he's just sick of losing to you.
What, Sean?
Yeah.
I mean, he told me last time that
3-0, man.
That those would be the last time he ever lost to me. No, he's not 3-0. He beat me at OCRWC.
Oh.
I phoned it in for that race because I was like, I'm not getting top three, but he's like really holding it over my head. Yeah, he beat me in the 3K, but I've since beaten him every other time. So.
All right.
But yeah, we did some workouts together in Boone and he like totally destroyed me. It wasn't even close. and it's I was practice, just like,
man. We're talking practice.
But like, we'd run together and then we'd climb together, and he was definitely better than me at both. Like, as far as climbing goes, like, if we went outside, I'd be a better climber, but like, indoors, like, just skipping holds and like, just raw athletic ability, he's significantly better than me. And I was like, yeah, no doubt he's gonna destroy me at this obstacle race. Like, I don't think anyone's gonna come close. And then I was wrong the first time, mm-hmm. and then I was wrong again the next day. I mean, the next day he did actually run really well in the like shorter Savage race. And then this time, yeah, I was like, God damn it, Sean, just like put it together.
Yeah, because you were the one that told me before the season started he was gonna destroy everyone.
And he's like stupid fast, like stupid fast.
Well, yeah, I'll ask you about him. Not that, I mean, it's your job to comment, but my one theory, and the only thing I ever question about him is, does he really want it bad enough? Does he really want to be the guy that wins OCR? Is he just there because, you know?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I think he does really want to. I mean, I should not speak for him because he's a pretty private guy, but I'm going to anyway. I mean, I won't totally go into what he wants to do, but basically Spartan burned him big time for no reason, like really, truly no reason. And so he's got an axe to grind, and he told me that he wants to just be the best obstacle racer in the world and make it and just not show up to Spartan and be like, fuck you. And I was like, huh, that's a that's common a sentiment at this point.
Noble cause.
Yeah. So... but yeah, I mean, I think he wants to do well. It's just, he's just struggling to put it all together. But I think once he does, like, short course obstacle races are going to be pretty fucking hard to beat him in.
Oh, I mean, yeah, he, like you say, he's got the tools. You can see it even in his first couple of races when, you know, you'd see him not really understand how to go through a rig.
Yeah.
He'll just be able to muscle through it, you know?
Yeah.
And is learning on the fly, you know?
Yeah, I would say the main difference between like him and me as far as like doing rigs and hard obstacles goes is that like not only have I raced a lot more than him, I've probably done like, I don't know, close to 10 times more obstacle course races than him, but I have like a very competitive climbing background, which is all about like problem solving and like seeing things and how to do them and do them properly, and he does not, and he just like looks at things and tries them and then realizes that's the wrong way, and then he gets flustered and then he tries them again harder, and then like it just compounds and like your frustration grows and you just do stupider mistakes. So I don't know, I think as he does more races it's just gonna get easier for him, but he has to do more races, so hopefully he doesn't get too bummed before that happens.
Well, you're supposed to say the difference between you and him is that you have an axe and he doesn't. Except that you don't have an axe.
No, I don't have an axe. I actually don't even have a medal, and I didn't even intend to carry it on. I don't really carry race paraphernalia ever home because it just ends up in the trash. But they confiscated my medal that I accidentally brought because they said the blade was too big.
On the medal?
Yeah, on the medal. They were like, what's this? And I was like, I mean, like, I'm not talking shit. I think Savage's medals are great. I don't like race paraphernalia. I think it's like wasteful and there's no point, and people should just like have the memories and not have to have some object to tell them that they did something. But they confiscated my medal. I was just like, throw it away. And they were like, no, we want you to keep it, but like, we're going to go check. And I was like, no, throw it away. I don't want it.
I'm going to give you full marks because I hear people say, and I'm the opposite. I keep all my crap. I'm a glory hog. I'll take everything I can get, but I'm going to give you marks because a lot of people I hear say, oh, I don't care about the medals. I don't care about this. And they're full of it. They lie. Cause then when they get a really good one, it's like, well, I got to keep that.
No, but, I don't have a single one as far as I know.
So I give you credit. So you got the axe and then you gave it to a kid who it obviously will mean something to. And that's pretty cool. And especially for a guy like you, who's supposed to be a real dick. So, I mean, I think that was really nice of you.
Yeah, apparently I really just, like, took it to him this weekend in terms of being a dick. Just because of one comment that was a joke about Decafit.
I like Decafit, god damn it, Eric.
I mean, I don't have any issue with people who partake in the Decafit. I just have issue with the organization that ripped off High Rocks and then decided to like reformat money from the pro team to put it towards Decafit and then just like make up random things as they went and be like, this is a world record. This is a world record. This is a world record. And it's like, well, I could have the world record for like, I don't know, sticking various pages of this book up my butt. But like, do I really want to have that? Like, no.
Well, not unless you light them on fire, because then it's cool.
Ooh, yeah.
You got to up the ante.
Up the fanny.
Ooh, there you go.
Yeah, so no offense to anyone who does Decafit. It's far too hard a sport for me to do. Actually, I have no issue with you.
You've done a Deca Strong, though.
Yeah, I've done a Deca Strong and a Deca Super Strong that were both made up on the spot and are now the standards for how they do Decafit, whatever.
Well, I think that the first one, the Deca Strong, the first one you guys did, I think is still exactly how they do it. But the other one you guys did was just a complete made-up thing.
Yeah. They just needed a way to like make Spartan Games closer points-wise. So they were like, I know we told you we're going to do Decafit, but we're going to do this other thing that's made up and we're never going to do again. It's called Deca Super Heavy or whatever it is. Deca Heavy. I have no idea. That was comically heavy, but it was great.
It was just a chance for Hunter to do some deadlifts.
Yeah. They were like, you know what was my favorite part about that? Is they were like, don't row the deadlifts. Like, you know how you can like bounce it off the ground and like pop the deadlifts up, because we were on Joe's like really expensive shale patio. And so first thing I did was just pick it up and just slam it into the ground as hard as I could. And I was like, there goes a 600-pound stone or $600 stone.
And they didn't invite you back for this one.
Yeah, what a surprise.
I am a little bit surprised.
Yeah.
Did
whatever. Oh, I'll just run really well this year and then they'll be like, maybe we won't invite him back again.
You made it in the first episode though.
Did I now?
It was the only action in the first episode was, of course, you throwing a bucket at Hunter. That was like the only thing they showed.
Yeah. I mean, I would not be surprised if he who I cannot legally name, or he who I cannot name because due to legal reprisal threats, told them that he would not show up if I came. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think you would have done fantastic, but I don't think you were on their radar.
All right, we're wasting time on things I don't want to talk about.
All right. So what's next? What's the next race then? So Savage Series, you are currently 1 point out of the lead.
Yeah. It's actually super exciting. I think the Savage Series is going to be sweet because like me and Kempson are just going to go head to head. Yeah, so my next race is actually a race in Ecuador. I was just going to keep my Ecuador trip super stealthy and not tell anyone and like make my Strava private and just like ghost the internet. And instead, I'm not going to. But it was a good idea. Yeah, I'm going to Ecuador for a month before Big Bear. And I'm doing a race called the Petzl Trail Plus, which is like the least exciting name possible. But yeah, it's 12 miles long and it has 7,000 feet of climbing.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
What's the trophy like?
I have no idea. I can tell you that it's gonna be very muddy and very high in altitude.
So I'm curious, like what spawned this doesn't seem like I've never heard of this race. I don't know how popular it is. What spawned the interest in this one? Because it's not exactly around the corner.
So I was actually looking at the place and then I like booked everything and talked to Fernando, who is actually at OCRWC. He was the guy who was running uphill faster than literally everyone there this year and then couldn't run downhill to save his life or really do hard obstacles. He's a really good guy, by the way. But I was talking to him and I was like, yeah, I'm coming to Quito and like we should hang out, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, hey, there's this race. Do you want to do it? And I looked at it and I was like, oh, Carl Egloff is like the guy on the cover, who's the guy who keeps taking records from Killian Jornet.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I forgot he lived there. And then I thought about it and I was like, oh, Nairo Quintana, who like kept crushing the Tour de France every mountain stage, also lived there. And then I like, yeah, I mean, I kind of already knew those things, but it just keeps making me more and more excited.
It just seemed like a kick-ass race to do.
Yeah. So Quito is the highest capital city in the world. It's at 9,500 feet, and that's where I will be.
So are you starting at 9,500 feet and then gaining 7,000?
It's like 100 miles away from Quito, so I think it starts at like 6 or 7, and then probably goes up to like 13, 14,000 feet. And that one is like, I don't know, it's like a very short rate or like tiny race compared to like the 50k and 50 miler. The 50 miler has like 30,000 feet of climbing.
at what elevation are you into that like pulmonary edema stage? Like that's, isn't that like around 15?
You get close. I mean, you'd have to work pretty hard to get it at like 15. I don't think I could get it at 15, but yeah. Like definitely some brain swelling action. but like I can run from the city up to like a 15,000 foot summit in like 15 miles round trip, so I'm excited.
That is pretty cool. That does sound like a wild, like a hell of an adventure, and for a month. So you're going down there for a month. So are you going down long enough to acclimatize to the elevation? Is that the deal?
Yeah. So 2 weeks would get me like part of the way acclimated, and then like a month is like primo, and then. So I'll actually be a month on the dot, which I think is like a 4 weeks and a couple days, and then I'll go to Big Bear and I'll be there for a couple days. So I'll actually have 5 weeks at altitude. Yeah. And so there'll be a lot of very natural EPO coursing through my veins, and I'm very excited.
So that should give you a really good shot at Big Bear then. I should put in a hell of a performance.
I hope so. It's only like a 6 mile race now because they've gone they who shall not be named have gone soft and won't do half marathons apparently, even at world championships, even though they've standardized things and decided to standardize the world championship distance at a totally random distance each year. So perfect.
Well, it is what it is.
It is what it is.
It is what
just,
it is.
You know, we're halfway through the year. Might as well just change the distance of world championships.
Dude, just what is it? Spartan the F up? Is it that's what you gotta do?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
Can't say it. I can say it. You can't say it.
I think that means spend a lot of money and don't get a return on investment. Which I have been spending a lot of money recently. So
yeah, those are not cheap trips.
Quito is actually pretty cheap. It's gonna be $900 for the Airbnb for the month. And it's like a nice Airbnb. And it's got like a pool and a hot tub and sauna. And yeah, and Ecuador is a pretty cheap place to live. So I don't know. That part's pretty cheap.
Do they need welders? I might move.
Yeah. They use the American dollar, not your watered down Canadian dollar.
Yeah. Oh, dude, don't even start. This place is too expensive to live. Canada's gone to hell. Nobody can afford to live here anymore.
Atkins was selling something on like the internet the other day, and it was like, 300 Canadian or
20 bucks.
And I was like, in my head, I was like $5 US. Like that's the conversion. 300 Canadian, $5 US.
I think, what is it? It's probably more like 300. No, Canadian, probably like 200.
220 US. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's pretty bad. But the good part about our money is you can successfully put it through the washing machine and it doesn't get wrecked.
Does ours get wrecked? Ours just becomes crunchy.
Yeah. No, ours is like plastic, super durable. It works fine that way. That's its only saving grace. It's not worth anything before you put it in or afterwards. But
yeah, I was gonna say nobody's counterfeiting Canadian bills, I guess.
No, definitely not. Way too expensive. So you're heading to Big Bear, and you're gonna try to screw people up in that race. And then, but your actual focus on the Savage. What's the next race for the Savage Series?
I mean, honestly, actually, I've just been focusing on the Spartan series. The Savage has just been like an added bonus. But I mean, I have been running fast this winter, like to try and be fast for Savage. And I think the first race, I just kind of messed up and went out too hard and then ran out of real estate to unfuck my mistake. But yeah, I felt good with the running the second time. But yeah, my focus has been on Big Bear and Mexico City and Utah and Blue Mountain. And yeah, so we'll see.
No cologne.
My, No, I'll go to Kelowna.
You're going to go to Kelowna?
I mean, I'll go to Kelowna if the wildfires don't shut it down, which I'm giving it like 60-40 that it will get shut down. Just having had lived out west enough for the past 10 years, I believe it will be shut down.
I think Emma Cook Clark said that was a bit of a risk as well. I think she said that that was a possibility as well.
Yeah, it almost seems like they're hoping for it to get shut down. I don't understand. Like, why would they pick wildfire season in a place that gets wildfires every year?
Well, again, you could have put
Blue Mountain
on that time, and then in October you could have went to Kelowna.
Better yet, make Kelowna a North American Series race, and then make Blue Mountain the North American Championships, because timing-wise, that makes total sense. Instead, well,
and having been to Blue, wouldn't it be great to have that there, like in the summertime?
Oh, you know who I was talking to today? I was giving Johnny Waite a tour of the area.
Oh, yeah?
For something that is to be announced. Oddly enough, I helped someone at Spartan today. he was like, dude, isn't Blue a sick course? I was like, Blue is a fucking awesome venue. Like, I had a terrible race there and I still had a blast. Like, that's one of the few times I've been at like a Spartan race and been like, wow, I'm running a terrible race, but like, this is still like beautiful. And like, this is an awesome venue. And like, there's cool people here.
You should have been there for you weren't there for OCRWC, right?
No, I wish I was though.
Like, that was like my first kind of big event that I'd ever been to for OCR. And it was just amazing. You'd have like 150 people that were not involved in the race around the rigs watching you go through the rig.
Yeah.
And just screaming and cheering all day long. It was so cool.
Like, I like where OCRWC is for Stratton, but Blue Mountain's obviously a better venue. Like, in my mind, like, it's not as rocky. It's not as like, I don't know. Everything about Stratton is like service roads rocks. And I'm like, eh. But like Blue Mountain's like soft grass and dirt and mud and like cool trails.
Well, the thing, and the big difference too, is like Stratton is in the middle of nowhere.
Oh yeah, it's a bitch to get to for sure.
It's a bitch to get to. And there's not, it's not like there's a town nearby where there's population, or even there's not even really like a thriving summer industry there. Whereas at Blue, that place is packed all year long. And you're right beside a nice city where you can go and you can get proper hotels and different places to eat and see. And, you know, it's right near the water. And it's just a good spot to be. If they came, if they had that in the water too, you guys can like hit the beaches and stuff. Like, it would be awesome. To, God damn it. Set your dates right. Anyway, buddy. I think I kept you long enough tonight.
Okay.
I'm not going to get you going long tonight. And mostly because I got to get up at 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah, Sarah's got to get up early too. That's why we're scrambling.
But that's good. So thank you very much for coming on again. Congratulations, man. We're all real proud of you. Team OFX, Aaron Newell.
That's me.
How much would you attribute your success to me personally? I mean,
100%.
Thank you. That's all I ask.
I wouldn't even give fractions, just one out of one.
That's all I ask is for all credit. We'll be sending you Duodynamic.
What?
Libia.
Finally, I almost stole some at Atkins' house today.
Yep. We're going to send you one of those.
Oh my God. Dreams do come true.
True. It's true. And like I said, doorway system that is easy to use and difficult to pronounce. So
why don't we just talk about those for the next 20 minutes?
All right. What are you going to do? You got to do some pull-ups and some dips because I get the ring set up and all that stuff.
I'm not sure I can do dips. Even with my elbow surgery, my nerve just like pops in and out still.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Can you do push-ups?
Yeah. Oh yeah. By the way, why don't we talk about that? I had elbow surgery 4 months ago. Double elbow surgery. I know. I just want to make sure people remember. Elbow surgery. Couldn't use elbows.
Dramatic comeback.
Yeah, look at me now. Also, a year ago, I had double leg surgery. Yeah, there's your headline.
What surgery do you have planned for next year?
Hopefully fucking none. Maybe some plastic surgery to make my face look not so stupid.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
No. So, yeah, we're going to send you out one of those, and hopefully it gets to you before you head out to Ecuador.
Ecuador. Yeah, I want to pack them and bring them.
Yeah. Like I said, they are very good. I use mine a lot. It's a good little tool. So not too bad.
Awesome.
And they're giving stuff away. They're actually a good sponsor giving athletes' things.
Product? Oh, that's product. Cool. That's for, awesome.
For just being such a delightful person.
That's me. Delightful.
That's a good name for delightful.
That's what I'm known for.
All right, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks, Dave.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.